My choice of subjects has been guided by a set of simple questions. Does the subject interest me? Does it amuse me? Is there an aspect of it that is not very well known? It's the technique of the magpie, hopping from one promising distraction to another, and it has the great advantage of being virtually all-inclusive. Anyone or anything can qualify, as long as it has piqued my curiosity. That, at any rate, is my justification for assembling a collection that includes such unrelated topics as a recipe for tapenade and a morning spent with a public executioner. In the course of my research, I have often been reminded of the Provençal love of anecdote, conversational embroidery, and the barely credible story. I make no excuses for recording much of what I've been told, however unlikely it may sound. We are, after all, living through a period in which the truth is routinely distorted, usually for political advantage. If I have sometimes overstepped the limits of verifiable accuracy, at least I have done so in a good cause, which is to make the reader smile. In the same spirit, I have not questioned too closely some of the specialist information passed on to me by experts, and Provence is full of experts. Almost without exception, they are generous with their time, their advice, and their opinions. The problem comes when you ask two of these experts the same question. When is the correct time to pick olives? How can I keep scorpions out of the house? Is the Provençal climate changing for the warmer? Is pastis the cure for all ills? Invariably, you will receive totally conflicting answers, each delivered with enormous conviction. I admit that I always choose to believe the most improbable one. Among these experts, one in particular deserves to be mentioned here, even though he also appears several times in the pages that follow. He is the emeritus professor, Monsieur Farigoul. Now retired from the mainstream of academic life, he has established a charitable cause for the education of backward foreigners, and I am his favorite pupil. In fact, I think I may be his only pupil. Lessons are held in the local café, and the curriculum is remarkably wide-ranging, since Monsieur Farigoul seems to be an expert on everything. Among other things, I have tried him on hornets' nests, Napoleon's love life, the use of donkey dung as fertilizer, the poetry of Mistral, the essential character differences between the French and the Anglo-Saxons, and the Avignon papacy. He has never been short of an answer, is usually contentious, and is always extremely opinionated. It is to this unconventional muse that I owe a considerable debt, which I now acknowledge with great pleasure. Some unreliable geography. It seems to me that almost everyone, from the first Roman map maker onward, has had very definite ideas of exactly where Provence is. But unfortunately for the seeker after geographical truth and precision, these ideas have varied, sometimes by hundreds of kilometers. I was told, for instance, that Provence commence à Valence, way up north in the Rhône-Alpes département. Recently, I made the mistake of passing this information on to my personal sage, Monsieur Farigoul, who told me that I was talking nonsense. One might stretch a point, he said, and include Nyon in Provence as a reward for its splendid olives, but not one centimeter further north. He was equally adamant about the eastern boundary, Nîmes, and the western limit, Sisteron. The fact is that over the centuries, boundaries have expanded and contracted, a bulge here, a dent there, sprawling or shrinking. Names have changed too, or have disappeared from popular use. Not long ago, the lowly Basse Alpes were given a leg up in the world and promoted to the Alpes de Haute Provence. And who nowadays could tell you, with any conviction, where the Comtat Venaissin begins and ends? It is not an exaggeration to say that the whole area, for many years, was an affront to the French sense of neatness, order, and logic,